He's going to go for the look that he had in college where he would wear the aviators and the the Washington State shirt that just says Cougars across the front and then a fucking pair of jorts, dude.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, it'll be pretty nice.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with the one, the only, making his triumphant return, sounding slightly less pissed off and tired than last time, the D-O-N, Don Chrisman. Don, what's up, dude?
Hey, Walsh, it feels like I'm covering Hurricane here because I'm bringing level 10 energy here right now.
as he holds his mic directly to his mouth. And yeah, Shrek's going to love that. No, that's great. I'm glad you're bringing level 10. I will try to match you at level 10. That's a combined level 20. I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know what scale we're on, but that's okay. Don and I are here to bring you the Week 5 recap, and there is a fucking ton to recap from this. But first, we do have to let you know that this podcast is coming to you courtesy of my bookie. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win than they do. If you use that promo code, Let's Talk, that's L-E-T-S-T-A-L-K, that'll get you a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Definitely worth it, guys. Make sure you're going to do that because betting is fucking fun as fuck. Non-paid sponsor, but I'd like to give a shout-out for Montucky Cold Snacks, the unofficial beer of Montana, making its way out to California and letting me buy it because – it's a six pack of 16 ounces for $6.99 it was. And, they're absolutely delicious. So Montucky Cold Snacks.
Sounds like a delectable lager, I'm going to guess.
Pretty cool looking can too. If you can see that, I know the people can.
Yeah. The horse, that's definitely a Montana beer right there.
Yeah. It's 16 ounces. Pretty fucking solid. I love them. And they call themselves Snacks, which is great. But anyway, unpaid ad for them. We love them.
Sure.
Just like last year, we had unpaid ads for White Claws like every week.
It's gone so bad with White Claws that I had a casual White Claw with the dinner I made last night, and I only had one of them. I was like, I'm not going to have a glass of wine. I'm going to have one casual ruby grapefruit White Claw to make this dinner go down right.
I mean, that sounds delightful, honestly. That sounds like a good way to eat dinner. I mean, I'm not a huge, casual beer drinker. I'm normally like an all or nothing type beer drinker or booze drinker, I guess. So I don't do a terrible amount of like casual beer with dinner unless I get like nice ones or whatever. But I like the White Claw. That's, you know, something a little bit sweet, something a little bit different. I mean, I normally just drink water with dinner, you know, so.
You know, Walsh, that's a good problem to have because I think that's why I'm finally like 50 pounds lighter is because I cut out the beer, but it's made me physically healthier, but mentally way worse because all I want is to drink beer like every day. Like, wow, I mean, wow, this dinner would go good with like a six pack right now.
You know, it would make this burger and fries even better. About six Bud Heavies. It's
like, and one airplane bottle of Fireball because I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll stay away from that for now. We'll try and stick to the water on our weeknight dinners. I've got two podcasts this week. I guess that's a giveaway, but I'll be recording the preview as well on Thursday. I'm a little worried about just like the amount of booze I'm going to drink like midweek this week, but that's okay.
Two podcast hangovers in 1 week.
Yeah. Little tough. I'm going to try and keep it nice and easy tonight. I drank one Truly beforehand. I've got this Montucky. And then the big thing for me, because for you guys, it's like you get done, you're on the East Coast. So like when you record with me, like you get done with the podcast and it's like time to go to bed. For me, it's 7:30 or 8:00. And like, I'm going to watch TV for a little bit and continue drinking. And then like, that's where like the slippery slope comes in. But
that's the biggest problem though, too, is like, especially when it does get off the rails and I leave hammered, because sometimes I'm doing like just straight bourbon. I'm just like, well, I'm done with this cast. I'm just going to drink more, and it's 11:30 at night, and I'm going to regret everything tomorrow at work at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to that point, like, what's the real difference between like 11:30 and like an hour of posting up and continuing what you're doing and going to bed at 12:30? Like, there's no
point. There's not.
Yeah. Anyway, now that Don and I have gone through our alcohol consumption problems,
we don't have a problem.
Our alcohol consumption solutions. We have a lot of things to get to tonight, Don. We got a full ass outline. We're gonna start it up with some news. I guess the big news of the week was that Jay Gruden got fired on Monday morning. After the game on Sunday at the press conference, he said, "If my key works on Monday, I'll keep going to work." Which, you know, if that's not a man resigned to the fact that he's getting fired, I don't know what is. And apparently they brought him in at 5 a.m. to fire him.
Yeah, 5 a.m., yeah.
Like, you can't fire the guy at, like, 8:30, let him get, like, a cup of coffee in first or something. But anyway, Bill Callahan is going to be the interim. I put OC, but it's head coach. He was their offensive line coach before. Callahan, of course, has coached and been an offensive coordinator historically for the Raiders. He was the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys during Dez Bryant's prime. He's had some success, honestly, as a coordinator. He brought the Raiders to the Super Bowl as a head coach. He supposedly wants to run the ball more, was like sort of a vocal point that, you know, they weren't handing the ball off enough, which, like, they were losing every game by 30 anyway. Like, what are you supposed to do? Establish the run at that point?
Right.
But do you think this is good for AP, or what's your general sort of take on Callahan here?
I think that temporarily it's a good thing for AP, especially because they're playing Miami this week, correct?
Yes, they are. They are playing Miami.
So I think this would be a good week to kind of or this would be the week that you would have hope for AP. They might work him a lot more, especially with having a new interim offensive coordinator. So I think this would be the week that you would think AP does something. I think he might be good for like 2 to 3 weeks after that. And then it's like, whatever, it's the Redskins. They suck. And AP is hit or miss every year, even when there is a game plan. So I don't know if you really want to look that way, but it's still kind of sketchy.
Yeah. And also, we don't really know who their starting quarterback is going to be. Of course, Colt McCoy started this past week. We have heard that they don't think Dwayne Haskins is ready. So, you know, I wouldn't expect to see him in there. But whether it's Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, whoever, it seems like Callahan's going to try and take the ball out of the quarterback's hands a little bit more and maybe try and, you know, keep games a little bit closer that way, maybe control the clock a little bit, that sort of thing. We'll see if it works. I don't think it will. Their offensive line is bad. They still don't want to pay or trade Trent Williams. I mean, there's not a ton of optimism, but like you said, they do play Miami this week. That's
certainly be the week
a good
to do it.
Yeah. There's I mean, who knows? Like, I've been saying the whole year, like, I think Miami's going to go 0-16, but like, they might win this week too. Who knows?
Well, you know what? I think we've learned through the years, we just can't ever get a real grasp of Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, 100%. One of my coworkers, he's flying to Miami this weekend to do like a double football trip. So I think it's like University of Miami's playing like Virginia or Virginia Tech or something.
Yeah.
So he's going to that, and then he's going to fucking
a Redskins Dolphins game.
Redskins Dolphins.
Oh my god.
Which, like, cool, you're getting two football games in one weekend, but like, you're flying from San Francisco to Miami for Redskins Dolphins.
Yeah, he's going to have a way better time at the college game than he is at that NFL game.
Oh, 100%. And he actually, he listens to the podcast. So if, Christian, if you're listening on your flight to Miami, best of luck, enjoy the game. Hopefully it's more entertaining than we think it's going to be.
Get really drunk.
Yeah, seriously. All right, let's move on to the Raiders trading a 2021 fifth rounder to the Bills for Zay Jones. The first thing I put in the notes here was extremely slow jack off motion. I don't really think this matters at all. Do you have any sort of take to the contrary?
No, dude. I, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills, it seemed like they used a combination of Duke Williams and Isaiah McKenzie as their third wide receiver, which I think is only really noteworthy in that it's not Robert Foster, who a lot of people have liked in the past and who was kind of productive towards the end of last year. They seem to be completely off Foster. The Bills have a bye week this upcoming week anyway. The Raiders will see if Tyrell Williams gets healthy, but I don't expect Zay Jones to really be a huge factor in this offense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
All right. AJ Green definitely does not seem like he's rushing to get back. Confirmed will not practice or play for week 6. Supposedly he wants a new contract. If you're an AJ Green owner here, Don, what are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, you don't drop him, right? Like it's
Would you try and sell him low for like, I mean, I know you've held on to him like this long, so it's hard to sell the guy, but like with the news that like he's really, really like I have no idea when he's going to be back. It could be as early as week 7. I think he could just sit out the rest of the season and see what happens. Would you sell him for like a D.D. Westbrook type wide receiver or a John Brown type wide receiver?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think D.D. Westbrook is starting to work himself back into flex position pretty easily now. And I think this it would be safe for you to do some feelers. One, if you are starting to get some trade interest from other players that are reaching out to you about it, I would say definitely. Or even if there's a position that you need that or that you're lacking, like throwing A.J. Green feelers out there at this point just to get some value. Because, again, you do run the risk of him not playing at all, or who knows when he's going to come back. And again, the Bengals are really terrible right now anyway. So if you could throw some feelers out there for some positions that you need, you could sell low and at least get some value out of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm all for that. I think he could be used as a guy as like a sweetener in some deals too, if you really need to. It's a weird situation. Keep an eye on the news with that. Moving forward, Jalen Ramsey, it looks like, is seeing a back specialist. That seems to make the Jags defense way less scary to me. The Panthers just kind of, you know, pounded them this past week, you know, largely due to Christian McCaffrey. But without Ramsey out there and without a real time frame for their return, do you see the Jags defense as, you know, a defense to work around, or are you kind of full steam ahead with them?
No, I mean, here's the one thing. So, no, I'm looking the stream at this point. I'm the owner in our main league of the Jaguars. They had like one solid week against Tennessee. They've only had one double digit week in our league. I mean, it all depends on what your bonuses are for defense. They're going against New Orleans this upcoming week. They do have a nice matchup week seven and eight, where I think they're back to being streamable. But then after that, I mean, I think they're a streaming defense at this point because they don't have Jalen Ramsey and they're not doing what they are you're used to them doing. So,
yeah. Now, outside of that one week at Tennessee where they did really rack up a lot of sacks, which teams have just done that against Tennessee this year. That's been, you know, a feature in the Tennessee offense. They really haven't generated a lot of pressure. They haven't generated a lot of turnovers. So I'm right there with you. I think it's a matchup that you don't have to be afraid of when you see your offensive players going against them. And if you draft it and you own them, you should be looking for other options. Hunter Henry may be back this week. It's still unclear. He's a guy who might've gotten dropped in your league. Do you have any interest in picking him up, or are you kind of in a wait and see mode?
No, I mean, I'm definitely, I'm picking up Hunter Henry. I think Phillip Rivers misses Hunter Henry. Before he got hurt, Hunter Henry is known to be good. He just obviously has some injury issues. But when he's out there playing, he is productive. In the league that I have him, I actually have him on an IR spot, which is great in our league. I can't wait to put him back in there because I can't find I've been really not doing well with the wheel this year. So I'm excited to get Hunter Henry back. And if he's available and you're hurting a tight end like I am, I would be going to get Hunter Henry and maybe stash him for the week until he is back.
Yeah, the wheel's been tough this year, unless you've gotten a guy like Will Disley or that sort of thing. Like the wheel really hasn't had a lot of fruitful weeks, I suppose. I think the other guy who could save you from the wheel we'll talk about next, and that's Chris Herndon. He's eligible to return from suspension. You know, he was very productive as a rookie, and again, that's very rare for rookie tight ends to be productive. It's clear that Darnold likes him a lot, and Darnold should be back this week. However, Adam Gase says he'll need to evaluate him at practice before deciding if he's going to play because Adam Gase is an asshole. That's like, why?
We've talked about Gase even when he was over in Miami and how much we hate him. So that's the thing that scares me the most is just I don't really know. The Jets are really bad. And listen, obviously they've always been bad, but now Darnold's been out. But I don't know if you could bank on Herndon for a little while because he's coming back from suspension. We don't know how healthy Darnold is yet, and their team sucks, and Gase is an asshole. So, like, there's just so many things that you're putting in a mixture here that just doesn't sound like the recipe of high productivity for a fantasy player coming out of the Jets unless you're Lev Bell, who's been, you know, slightly above average.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about Herndon and just the Jets in general, you know, I know they look absolutely terrible right now, but the next 2 weeks they get the Cowboys and then the Patriots. Their schedule after that, Jaguars, who we just said we're not really that afraid of at the current moment, Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins again. Like, that's sick. Yeah. This team is going to have a stretch of games where, you know, if Darnold comes back healthy and that sort of thing, they are going to produce. And it's not quite yet, but it is coming up in a couple weeks. So
you're saying Jets are going to win out and go 11-5.
Yeah, totally. Luke Falk's going to win MVP. I think they do have a stretch there, though, where – you know, it's like the stretch that the Patriots are on right now, where just like it's an easy schedule for them. And as bad as the team and the offense has been, I think there are brighter days ahead for guys like Herndon or Crowder or Robbie Anderson who might get featured, or Lev Bell who might get featured in this offense a little bit more as Darnold gets healthy. So I guess keep that in mind. A couple more news items. We've got DeSean Jackson getting close to returning, quote unquote. I don't know whether that means this week, but we saw the chemistry that he really had with Wentz. And I think that would be, you know, Wentz has been okay, but like particularly this past week, like he didn't really do shit.
Yeah.
Like I think that would be a huge up to Wentz's stock.
Yeah. And it just opens up a lot for Philly and makes it easier for Wentz to hit his other targets as well. So I agree.
And then last bit of news, you know, we'll get into it. I don't think it's going to happen, but Saquon might come back this week. Not a human. Just like they said, he was going to be 4 to 8 weeks, leaning towards the end of it. It's been two. Crazy.
Dude, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's like, he's one of those guys, you know? He's just one of those guys where the rules don't really apply.
Yeah, he's like a LeBron, right? Like LeBron has never really gone any type of ailment that's really taken him out. Like, I think that's what Saquon's going to be. He's just so physically insane that he just made a high ankle sprain look like he stubbed his toe.
Yeah. LeBron's only ailment that took him out for an extended period of time was team being bad-itis this past year.
Maybe when Saquon has a little bit more, more of a veteran esque role, he can do that too with the Giants because they normally suck.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about them later because they are our Thursday night game that we need to preview as we'll be recording the rest of the previews on Thursday night. So we'll get off Saquon for right now because we got a multitude of injuries that I think we're just going to try and power through here. David Johnson, back tightness, will be monitored all week, questionable for week 6. Any opinions on him and the Cardinals offense and then I guess Chase Edmonds? They get a great matchup against the Falcons this week.
Yeah, I mean, Falcons defense has been pretty poor. So, I mean, if you own David Johnson, you can grab Chase Edmonds just in case. Something you might want to do. But, I mean, Falcons have just been very susceptible to the run. So, might have to do it. That's one of the waiver wire ads to hit, especially if you do own them.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think if you're a David Johnson owner, that's who you should be prioritizing on the waiver wire this week, because realistically, there are not a ton of waiver wire ads this week. You know, as you're hearing this, your waivers might have already gone through, and you've seen that directly. Like, in past weeks, we've had, you know, Darrell Williams or Wayne Gallman or, like, these guys who are clearly number one, number two type waiver wire ads. I don't really think there's anyone like that this week. So try and do the handcuff thing if that, you know, you need to. Moving on to the Ravens, we've got Marquise Brown. He has an ankle injury that Harbaugh described as nothing serious, that it's just a tweak. And he's currently day to day, but I think this is a little bit important just because Mark Andrews has been dealing with sort of like a lingering injury as well. And I could be wrong on this, but I believe over 60% of the target share through the Ravens offense has gone to either Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews. So the fact if both of them are dealing with like these little nagging injuries, that could be an issue in terms of their offensive efficiency.
Absolutely. But you've seen Jackson suffer from that last week as well. So
yeah, hopefully they can come back as they play the Bengals this week, but we'll see how it happens. Sticking with the Ravens, I know this is kind of a little off the wall, but Tony Jefferson, he's one of their safeties, got put on IR. You know, the secondary has already been missing Jimmy Smith, another defense that maybe isn't as fearsome as we thought it would be going into the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, James O'Shaughnessy, torn ACL, out for the season. He's been the number one tight end for Jacksonville. Do you have any interest in Jeff Swaim as like a streamer? What a question, right?
I mean, you gotta believe in Gardner Minshew, man. So, I mean, if you're in a deep league and you need tight ends, and I don't know, there's other places to go, but
no, Jeff Swaim.
If you're as desperate as I am, maybe, but you can very well end up with a fucking zero. So,
yeah. I mean, Swaim's been a guy who's been on the field a little bit with O'Shaughnessy, and I would guess now that O'Shaughnessy's out, he's not going to play 100% of the snaps, but we'll kind of step into the O'Shaughnessy role, which was also not terribly fantasy relevant. So take it for what you will. Moving to the Steelers, and I'm going to go slightly out of order just to get all the Steelers together. But Jalen Samuel having knee surgery, expected to be out a month. James Washington, shoulder injury. I don't think he practiced today. I would expect him to be sort of questionable going through the week. Keep an eye on the news. Mason Rudolph, medical evaluation was that he got knocked the fuck out, and he is unlikely to play this week.
I'm pretty sure I saw that at the bottom of ESPN strolling by. It was Mason Rudolph got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, dude. That play was scary.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
No. Opposite of good.
Bad.
But yeah, I think that the takeaways here are sort of that with Jalen Samuel, I mean, James Conner is clearly going to be the RB1 here, which I'm sure you are pumped to hear, though they seem to be, obsessed with getting Benny Snell a couple touches a game, which is bizarre to me because he has not looked good at all.
And I'll be really pissed.
Yeah. And then in terms of the passing game, Devlin Hodges is likely to be their starting quarterback. He is an undrafted rookie free agent out of Samford University. I looked it up. That is in Birmingham, Alabama. I did not know that before. Do you have any opinion on Devlin Hodges and this passing game, how it affects Juju or Deontay Johnson?
It affects them negatively. So I'm a Juju Smith-Schuster owner. And Mason Rudolph has already made me nervous, even though he's been doing somewhat well. But yeah, dude, this is kind of nerve-wracking. If you own Juju, getting Hodges in there is not going to make you feel good about it. But I'm going to still roll him out most likely because he was probably your number one wide receiver being drafted on your team.
Yeah, I mean, it's doubtful that you have a ton of depth behind him. If you do, good for you. If you got someone like Shark or you know, Will Fuller or something like that, great. Otherwise, Juju's probably your only option there. I'm going to skip past our Patriots and Giants. I'm going to save them for our preview later. So let's move right to Darren Sproles, week to week with a strained quad. How much are you boosting up Howard and Sanders with that news?
Dude, I don't know. Like, it a little bit, but again, it's going to be an edge towards Howard with like it was very so that like Howard in our league had like 11 points and Sanders had 7. Like, that's what you're going to see. Like, they kind of just are going to take productivity away from each other. It helps that Darren Sproles is out, but, you know, still temper your expectations. If anyone's going to go off, it's most likely going to be Howard, though, over Sanders, if you're a Miles Sanders owner like myself.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's going to come down to who gets the touchdowns that week, and which has been Howard recently. So we'll see how it goes. But I think it is a bit of a boost to both of them. I'd much rather be playing you know, a 50-50 backfield on what I think is a good offense than a, you know, 33-33-33 backfield, which is what it's sure. kind of been so far. So, you know, it is what it is sort of there. And then the last group of injuries that I wanted to get to was Alex Kappa and Damar Dotson. If you are wondering who they are the starting right guard and right tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both are expected to be out for week 6 against the Panthers. Jameis, not really a guy who does terribly well under pressure. This is interesting to me as someone who might be looking to play the Panthers defense, either streaming or in daily or that sort of thing.
Good call.
All right. Let's take a quick break here, Don, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
We are back, guys, and we got a couple things still to go through. We're going to go through a segment called Things That Happened. Extremely specific, I know, but, you know, we'll try and get you through all the important things that went on in week 5, and then we're going to still preview the Thursday night game, so keep your ears peeled as we go through all that. So, Dom, things that happened. The biggest things was just like a fuckload of explosion weeks. We kind of buried the lead on this one. Like,
yeah,
week 5 was fucking insane.
It was.
And like, there were a lot of players that just went absolutely the fuck off. And there were a lot of really, really big scores here.
What was your team that you said that you just like completely just all your players went off?
So I had one team where I had, and we have like, it's a weird league with, you know, like 5-point bonuses at 100 yards or whatever.
Sure.
But I put up over 250 points. and this is just, you know, regular PPR, but with these bonuses. And I had Dalton, McCaffrey, Cook, I believe I have in that league. And then,
Yeah, you did say you have Cook and McCaffrey.
Yeah, Godwin, Boyd, Fuller, Kittle.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was quite the week. I had two separate leagues in which I put up over 230 points this week.
Wow.
Both of them are just, you know, like regular PPR leagues. They're not like you know, like 6 flex leagues or like anything crazy like that.
Wow.
So it was quite the fucking week in terms of that. It didn't hurt that like a lot of these guys who like really went nuts were guys that I were pretty high on like preseason. So I ended up with a pretty solid week this week in general.
Yeah, I feel like if you look at, I'm in so many leagues, and it was all kind of consistent in the way it was of how inconsistent it was. Like, if you look at each matchup, you'd see some of like 186 points versus like 110 points, like 178 versus like 130. Like, holy shit. There is like so many teams that just went bananas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you had the right combo of players, like you could have broken 300, no problem. Like this week, it was that kind of week. So let's get into some of the bigger performances, and we'll start with Christian McCaffrey.
Hell yeah.
Who went, big time. Went 19 carries, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, 9 targets, 6 catches, 61 yards, and 1 touchdown through the air. I mean, you don't expect explosion weeks like this from McCaffrey, but McCaffrey is consistently, you know, the number one producer in fantasy so far this year. It's interesting that he is about to get the only team to really shut him down again with the Bucks. But you know, McCaffrey going forward, just ride this guy until the wheels fall off. Like it's unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing though. When does the wheels fall off? Because like they are working the shit out of him.
I'm concerned for him, like, career-wise. Like, if I had him in a dynasty league, I would be like, hey, maybe we should get him less snaps than 100% of the snaps every single week.
Right.
But, like, if I have him this year, I'm just, you know, I'm keeping it going. I like this, like, because they really don't have anyone else on the roster.
They don't.
Like,
they have nobody.
They said in the offseason they want to give him a little bit less snaps, and then we should have known from, like, their actions. Like, they cut Cameron Artis Payne early in camp, and their backups are Reggie Bonifone and Alex Armaugh is their fullback. Like, you're gonna put in Reggie Bonifone, you know?
Yeah. Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket, huh?
Yeah, seriously. It's a little ridiculous, but in terms of fantasy – it's exactly what you want to see as you know, a single year fantasy owner. I wouldn't be terribly concerned in terms of, you know, like, this year, that kind of thing. Like, maybe he wears down, but he did it last year. So we'll see.
He's a freak, dude.
Yeah. Keep on going. Don't even think about selling high. If people send you offers for him, laugh in their faces. Like, this is who Christian McCaffrey is this year.
He's like, there's not a trade package or, like, he's untouchable this year. Like, for, if you're a fantasy owner, like, there's no reason to ever trade him.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, you know, obviously when you're a bad team or whatever, and you need to try and make up ground, like, you do what you can to make your team better. But for the most part, if you're giving up the best player in the trade, then you're losing the trade. Yeah. In fantasy. And if you're giving up McCaffrey, then you're giving up the best player in the trade, no matter what. So
easily.
Yeah, it's pretty simple logic on there. Pretty easy transitive property on that one. Let's move to Will Fuller, who, you know, we knew Will Fuller week was coming. It seemed like a pretty
good spirit.
It came. Everything came. 16 targets, which, underrated weird part of it. Like, we think of him as a deep threat. 16 targets, mm-hmm. 14 catches, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also got tackled at the 1 yard line twice. So this was almost an even bigger day, like, by a lot.
Yeah. You're used to, like, seeing, like, 4 catches for 5 targets with 217 yards and 3 touchdowns for Will Fuller.
Yeah, exactly. This was 14 catches. Like, some of the touchdowns that he caught were just red zone touchdowns. It's not like they were all bombs.
Yeah.
So
very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, but very, very not concerning. What's the opposite of concerning?
Unconcerning?
that's right, Don.
I'm very, here for you, man. I took a remedial vocabulary class once.
Encouraging is the word that I was looking for. you know, we can't expect this from Fuller every week, obviously. But you know, I think this is – not that we should expect anything near this, but Will Fuller being a starting caliber wide receiver is, I think, closer to the reality than what we have gotten through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, for sure.
And just to kind of throw it in for some context too, Hopkins had 8 targets and 7 catches. Like, he's not dead either. Hopkins week is coming at some point. So don't think that Will Fuller having this week means that Hopkins is just not going to be anything going forward.
It's just frustrating for you Hopkins owners at this point.
It is. But again, it's really coming. Like, it has to.
You can't bench him.
No, not at all. Particularly against the Chiefs this week. I cannot wait for that game.
That will be a great game, actually.
Let's go a little bit out of order here. Since we talked about Fuller, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. 28 for 33 passing, 426 yards and 5 touchdowns, same amount of touchdowns as incompletions. That's crazy. This is another thing. We were sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Texans, and boy, did it drop this week. Watson just went absolutely nuts. But getting off the Texans for a moment, should we just be attacking the Falcons defense with, like, everything and every player until further notice?
Yes, they are not good.
Fair enough. I completely agree with you for what it's worth. They have shown the propensity to just get rocked both in the run game and in the pass game, i.e. Dalvin Cook week 1 and Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller week 5. They get Arizona this week. I do not know their schedule the rest of the way, but attack the Falcons defense.
Absolutely.
All right, moving to Amari Cooper, 14 targets, 11 catches, 226 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. In a game where the Cowboys looked bad.
Yeah, he fucked up my boy Jair Alexander.
Yeah, he really did. And Alexander going into this week was Pro Football Focus's number one rated coverage cornerback. It's not like he did this to some schlub. Like, Alexander's been a stud this year.
He is a stud, and he beat him up, dude. Cooper made him look silly a lot.
Which
he was saving Dak, dude, because other than that, Dak was having a rough game. Although not all the picks were his fault or whatnot, but Cooper was beating up Alexander pretty good.
Yeah. And I mean, for what it's worth, Gallup had a pretty good game in terms of counting stats on the other side.
Yeah.
I know a lot of that was the Cowboys having to play from behind and chuck the ball around in the second half and all that. But the Cowboys wide receivers are pretty studly, it seems like.
Yes. I mean, we've been excited for Michael Gallup. And I don't have his stat line, but he had a whole bunch of targets, especially when Kevin King was just like shadow boxing him without the shadow part and just punching him in the face a bunch of times for that interception.
Yeah, absolutely. pretty. Kevin King's like an interesting guy.
He is a wild dude.
Yeah, he's definitely like the wild card of that defense. But hey, whatever works, I guess.
He definitely caught like gave him at least like 3 punches to the dome to Michael Gallup before intercepting it. Kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have been pissed if I was a Cowboys fan, but it's hysterical since I'm not.
Yeah, 100%. It's the Cowboys, they've looked bad the past 2 games without Tyron Smith. They expect to have him back this week at left tackle. We'll see if that sort of fixes the woes of the offense. You know, it's hard to pin everything on him. I think some of it may also be the league figured out Kellen Moore after a couple games. You know, we were very pumped on Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator after a couple games. Maybe after a couple of weeks of film on him, he was easier to crack the code on. I don't really know, but we'll see how they sort of look going forward.
But isn't it concerning though for the Cowboys defense, right? Where the Packers offense really hasn't looked that great. They also didn't have Devontae Adams, and they really pride themselves on their linebackers. And Aaron Jones went for 4 TDs.
Yeah, Aaron Jones made them like his bitch.
Yeah.
And we might as well just talk about that now. Aaron Jones with 19 carries for 107 yards and 4 touchdowns. Also was the leading target getter. 8 targets, 7 catches, 75 yards. He just really fucked him up.
Yeah, dude. I mean, hopefully this is like finally the wake-up call that like Aaron Jones is fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought once we got LaFleur, I'm like, all right, man, like we got a new head coach. Like maybe he's going to utilize him. And then like this whole shit where they're still splitting it. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, why? Jamal Williams, I get it. Like I like Jamal Williams. He's a great blocking back, but he's nowhere near as talented as Aaron Jones. And why are we not just letting him run the fucking pig?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Trey Carson was the second back in this game with Jamal Williams being out with a concussion. Carson had 32% of the snaps, 4 targets, and had 6 carries for 14 yards rushing. Aaron Jones, despite his insane snap or stat line, only in on 68% of snaps. So, like, we can't get Aaron Jones up to 80% of snaps one of these days, you know? Like, we can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the stats here because I was going off and I was – texting one of my buddies who's also a Packers fan, and like Aaron Jones' yards per carry is over 5.5 yards in the last 2 seasons, and like between last season and this season, he's getting over 7 yards per catch as well. So I mean, I don't know what else you can really ask for the dude. Just give him the ball.
Yeah, it's one of the most puzzling things that I feel like we've seen over the past couple of years in terms of what seems like an obvious solution to a problem that the coaches and now multiple coaching staffs just seem to not want to do. you know, I think LaFleur's a bit of a – it was a weird hire in general. So, him being not as smart on that is not entirely surprising to me, but it's still bizarre, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all bizarre. If you're – especially, you know, when it comes down, if you're an Aaron Rodgers owner, right, or who to play wide receiver-wise, I couldn't even tell you, man. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even look at LaFleur on the sideline. So I don't know. I don't – like, Rodgers, if you have a solid backup, is like you shouldn't even really be starting Rodgers unless you see otherwise right now.
It's crazy. Would you be streaming over him, or are you not going that far?
Yeah, I would stream matchups.
That's where we are. That's where we are. A Packers fan who loves Aaron Rodgers is saying, yes, I would stream matchup-based quarterbacks over Aaron Rodgers.
It's crazy. And so if you own him, it's definitely frustrating, but that's the way you got to look until you see more. I mean, it's just you just don't know what's going on with that offense at all. Between Davante Adams getting hurt, now Aaron Jones might get the ball more. Offense still hasn't clicked. Jimmy Graham, again, has been a massive disappointment. So I don't have an answer for you, but our defense is saving us, and maybe they're going to run.
Yeah, in the passing game, it's really Davante Adams, and I think that's about it in terms of what we're looking at. You know, you can try and throw darts at Allison or MVS. I don't know which one to throw a dart at week to week. Sorry, guys. It seems like we've lost Don for the moment.
Matt.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Perfect. I could hear you the whole time.
Oh, really?
I don't know. My internet was bad. Yeah.
Okay.
But what you were saying, I agree with. So if we could all just tell Rodgers to stop sending me like MVS packages with Kyler Murray, because I don't want any of that shit.
That's funny. That's funny that he's trying to do that.
He's just like texting me like the dumbest things. I'm just like, just leave me alone, dude. I might block Matt, to be honest, for a few days.
Just block his number.
Yeah.
Not the worst idea in the world. All right, I think that'll probably handle it for the Packers. Sorry if some of it cut out. If you heard all of it, great. That's wonderful. Let's move to DJ Shark, who
it's your guy.
Yeah, I feel like I can take like every victory lap in the world on this guy because I was advocating taking him in the last round as the number one guy to take there. And please, I hope no one remembers the fact that my number two guy to take in the last round was Breshad Perriman. conveniently ignore that one and focus only on DJ Shark because he was my number one and that one fucking worked out. 11 targets, 8 catches, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. We talked about it before. He's the wide receiver number 5. Is he an every week starter this like from here on out until we say further?
Oh, for sure, dude. It's funny. The only two leagues I have him in, I'm in like I actually have very good wide receivers, and I'm such in a pickle. But yeah, no, you have to. I mean, especially because Minshew is also showing out, right? So he hasn't declined just yet. That's his number one target. You did put in here. You know, what's interesting is that he might be in Marshawn Lattimore jail, which definitely could be a concern. Obviously, look what he does to Mike Evans. Or did to Mike Evans and has done to Mike Evans in the past as well. So that's something you might be concerned about. And maybe if you want to wait one more week, I think this gives D.D. Westbrook a little bit of a bump. But, yeah, dude, he seems to be the real deal. He's catching a lot of – he's getting a lot of targets as well, which is promising. So it's not like he's just been one of those guys that's showing off after, you know, only a few catches per game. Like, he's getting a lot of targets from – Minshew. So you got to roll with it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, and you hit on it right at the end there, is that earlier in the year it was like he was getting a couple deep passes and some touchdowns, but it would be on like 5, 6, 4 targets a game. This past week he led them in targets. He had 11 targets. Like, this is a guy who clearly has a connection with Minshew. that he's clearly looking at as a guy that he relies on. And you know, you mentioned it, he might be shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore this week. They do play the Saints. The Saints haven't shadowed every single week so far, so I'm not sure if I would let that really dissuade me entirely, but be aware that there might be a lower floor than we would generally expect. But yeah, dude, Shark's legit. He's really good. Minshew loves him. And this Jaguars offense these past 2 weeks has really been running on all cylinders. So, you know, if they continue to do that, then he's going to continue to produce for you. And he's a guy you got to have in your lineup.
What a sexy stack in the future in DFS. Minshew Shark.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's
I will jag off real hard to that 1 week.
I mean, you have to. Yeah. One thing I realized with it being October, and the reason I realized it is because one of my buddies is going to do it. How many dudes are going to be Gardner Minshew for Halloween this year?
Oh yeah, that's wow. That's great.
Yeah.
And then roll that mustache right into Movember. That's perfect.
Yeah. So my buddy who's going to do it, he honestly looks like a lot like him. He has like very similar hair to him, and he's just going to shave down to the mustache. And I was like, you're going to get the Minshew Jags jersey? And he said, no, he's going to go for the look that he had in college where he would wear the aviators and the Washington State shirt that just says Cougars across the front a fucking pair of jorts, dude.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, it'll be pretty nice.
He just needs a bottle of Jack and a hammer, too.
Seriously.
That is great.
Yeah, pretty pumped for it. Pretty pumped to see really what Minshew and Shark can do for the rest of the season. Moving on to the Buccaneers, who just played the Saints, we've got Chris Godwin. He's now wide receiver one in PPR. Again, don't want to toot my own horn too much, but I own him in almost every league. Nine targets, seven catches, 125 yards, two touchdowns. And outside of week three, where he, you know, really had a dud performance and Mike Evans had three touchdowns, he's clearly been the guy that Jameis has looked for ahead of Mike Evans, who had three targets, zero catches, and 0 yards. So kind of looking at this holistically, are you worried about Mike Evans going forward, or was it just he was in Marshawn Lattimore jail for today?
I think it's slightly concerning, but Mike Evans really hasn't, since he's paired up with Lattimore, since Lattimore's been on the Saints, he's always kind of had issues with him. The positive sign is Mike Evans has never not had a 1,000-yard season. So that's definitely an upside. Chris Godwin obviously has shown, and yes, Walsh, you have talked about him. I own him in every other league except ours because you broke me heart and took him before I could. So because you reached on him a little bit, but obviously it paid off because you believed in him and look what he's doing. So, yeah, dude, listen, I think Godwin is going to end up with a better and more consistent year than Evans. But I think if you're an Evans owner, like I am in our league, he has never not had a 1,000-yard season. So that should make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm definitely not giving up on Mike Evans. If I own him, it's just going to be a little bit more boom or bust than I think it's been in the past, because Godwin has kind of established himself as the guy over the middle and that sort of thing. And Evans has been more of a big play threat this year. So that being said, he's going to get to his 1,000 yards. He's going to have great stats at the end of the year. It's just a matter of dealing with those peaks and valleys. Moving to the Saints wide receivers, we had Michael Thomas go absolutely nuts. 13 targets, 11 catches, 182 yards, and two touchdowns. I was really about Michael Thomas' regression just because he had an 85% catch rate last year. He has an 82% catch rate this year. Like, the regression is not real on this guy, apparently. Are you buying Michael Thomas as being this guy going forward?
Yeah, dude. I mean, Michael Thomas is a stud. It's not like this is a breakout year for him. And Teddy Bridgewater is good. And I like that you put, is it time to consider him as a streamer? Because I was going to be like, if this isn't in our outline, that's something I want to bring up, but you did put it in there. Teddy Bridgewater is good, dude. Like, you know, he looked good with the Jets, and that's why he picked him up after coming back. And I think it's time with that offense and the rapport that he's already picked up with Michael Thomas. And obviously they have Al Kamara that already elevates any quarterback's productivity in fantasy from dumping him the ball and what he can do. I even think Teddy Bridgewater would be a streamer. So, for sure. And Michael Thomas is going to continue to do what he's going to do. That's going to be his primary target.
Yeah, and I mean, we just talked about how the Jags are not really a formidable defense for us anymore. I don't know if I'd be actively looking to stream Teddy against them this week, but, like, I don't think it's the worst call that you can make. No.
There's going to be a floor there for you.
You're also not really going to have likely too many more weeks where you can stream Teddy. You know, Breeze is throwing, like, a mini football or whatever, which is, like, a big news thing. But, you know, he will likely be back within the next couple of weeks. So, you know, where you can use Teddy, try and do it. And Thomas is going to keep on doing what he's doing, it seems like. That was it basically for the explosion games that we had. So let's just get into a couple more interesting factoids, and then we'll get that Thursday night game preview in quickly. Sony Michel had himself a bit of a game on only 49% of snaps, 16 carries, 91 yards, and one touchdown. And then he surprisingly threw in three targets, three catches, 32 yards. I think those were his first targets of the year. I could be wrong on that. But Sony Michel's not normally a guy who does that. So with their week schedule coming up and the week schedule they have had and everything, would you trust Sony Michel going forward a little bit?
I also like how you corrected your spelling, because I saw that earlier and I saw that W-E-E-K schedule. And I was like,
oh, yeah, I saw that and it pissed me off that I made that mistake in the first place. So I was like, are you kidding me?
I was just going to let that rock. I'm going to go with it for a few reasons why I'm not going to fully trust him. One, because in the league I had him and I traded him away, so hope that he does suck for the rest of the year. But no, Rex Burkhead, I believe, is back this week.
He's been limited in practice, so let's just talk about it now. I don't think he's going to play, because why, if you're the Patriots, why would you play him in this cupcake matchup against the Giants when you know you're going to win anyway?
Right. No, that's fair. I mean, just going forward with Sonny Michel, I don't know, man. Patriots forever have always been, you don't know what's going on in the backfield. Sonny Michel is definitely, like, the most promising one to start. Like, I wouldn't say because Rex Burkhead's coming back that you pick him up and play him right away, like, stuff like that. But I just feel like it just does limit Sonny Michel as well. So,
yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think if anything, the, you know, Rex Burkhead, if and when he does come back, really just rather than providing any sort of fantasy value for himself, puts a damper on the fantasy value for the other guys. So I think you got to keep an eye on which guys are hurt and which guys are, you know, healthy for the Patriots going forward, and agreed, sort of play guys based on that.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen had a big game in the squeaky wheel narrative, paid off. 8 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, after complaining publicly about Kirk Cousins and the passing game and that whole sort of thing,
threw him right under the bus.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like that was less throwing. Everyone took it as him throwing Kirk Cousins under the bus. I felt like that was throwing the play calling under the bus. And the idea that they were refusing to pass the ball even when they were down under the bus. I mean, maybe that was me trying to, like, be optimistic and non-confrontational about it, but that's sort of the way that I took that whole thing. Either way, it paid off for him this week in you know, what was also a great matchup against the Giants, who haven't been able to stop anyone this year, particularly in the pass game. But the Vikings didn't need to pass the ball to win this game. They could have just handed it off to Dalvin Cook every play, and, like, it would have been fine. They still would have won. They still threw the ball. So maybe that's them learning a lesson. I don't know. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, look what Adam Thielen did last year, especially – well, I mean, he had an amazing first half of the season. But, I mean, the guy is easily a top five receiver potential. So, yeah, I mean, you got to believe in that. Obviously, if you're a Diggs owner, it's quite concerning. I think it goes to, like, what do you think about – I mean, they're now putting Kirk Cousins right now back over as the number one waiver ad for quarterbacks. Like, ooh, what do you – off of RotoWorld is what I'm reading with that, and a few places I've looked at it to be added is Kirk Cousins. So,
who do they play this week again?
They have – I don't have that up.
Let me check that real quick, because, like – That seems like wrong to me.
I couldn't believe it either.
They play Philly. I mean, Philly's secondary's bad, and like, yeah. I don't hate it, but like, yeah, I don't know. But that's a tough one. I definitely don't hate that as a matchup. Minnesota's a 3-point favorite in like in that game. It's, you know, the Philly, you beat them by passing, so it's definitely not a bad call this week. But he's clearly a 1-week pickup.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would still like. I'm definitely gonna pick up Gardner Minshew over Kirk Cousins, and I think I would even take Andy Dalton this week over, even though he's playing Baltimore against than Kirk Cousins.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you on those. I don't think you're wrong by any means. I think they're all in the same general area in terms of pickups. But yeah, it's. I just wonder, like, did Mike Zimmer learn his lesson, or is he going to go back to, you know, pounding the football the entire time? I don't really know what the situation is going to be there.
Philly's run defense is very good. I do get that, but.
Yeah, it's interesting, and Rodgers and I will go more into that game on the preview podcasts later in the week. But for now, let's move on to the Chargers and the split between Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. So the first thing to note for this was that the Chargers were down the whole game. They went down about, I think it was 13 points. Like, I don't know if there was a missed extra point or whatever. But they went down very early. That being said, Melvin Gordon had 46% of the snaps, 12 carries for 31 yards, 6 targets, 4 catches, 7 yards. Not great.
Not the best.
Austin Eckler, 66% of the snaps, only 3 carries for 7 yards, 16 targets, 15 catches, 86 yards. And included in that, he had 13 snaps either in the slot or out wide, which he only had 14 of those for as a total for weeks 1 through 4. So they were splitting him out a little bit, getting him involved in that way. I don't know. Did you watch any of this game?
I didn't get to, no.
Yeah, neither did I. From what I've heard, Gordon looked bad.
I mean, they got beat up pretty bad, and he's his first week back. I don't know what anyone really was going to expect. If you think he was just going to, you know, rush for 150 yards, I don't know. If you're a Melvin Gordon owner, dude, like, I would give it another week or two, but he's someone that come down the stretch and you're in the playoffs and he's in full Melvin Gordon mode. I mean, he is a stud.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if they get better game script. We'll see if they use him more in better game script. For me, like, if you had to choose, if you had both of them on your team and you need to choose one to play next week, which one are you playing?
Still playing Eckler.
Okay.
But again, just know that if you're an Eckler owner, that this can start depleting, and just hope he still just gets the targets in the receiving game, since he's definitely going to lose it in the rushing.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on playing Eckler. I think that's the correct call. You know, we'll sort of see how it plays out the rest of the year, but right now I think it's definitely still Eckler over Gordon. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about before we get into this Thursday night preview is that Philip Lindsay continues to like kind of ball out on limited snaps. The Denver offense and Rich Scangarello, their offensive coordinator, have really, really committed to this 50-50 split. But like Philip Lindsay had 15 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown, caught all 4 of his targets for 33 yards on only 46% of the offensive snaps. Like, is there a point where he's good enough that they stop using Freeman? And then I guess if they don't, like, does it matter? Can you just be playing Lindsay every week?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of what I did last year when I don't have any Lindsay because I was worried about that, but and the regression though. But I mean, he was pretty much productive every single week last season as well with the limited share that he had. I think they're going to continue to rock out the same thing. But Philip Lindsay was like what the Will Fuller was for the last few seasons as the running back, like just extremely efficient on the limited share that he does get.
Yeah, it's one where I've shied away from him. I shied away from him completely in drafts. And even like in daily and stuff, I've shied away from him to my detriment in a couple of weeks. I don't really know what to do with it, but like he continues to be very, very, very good.
I mean, if you all you're playing him.
Yeah, that's probably true. So let's think about this week. If you have Philip Lindsay and Sony Michel and you have one spot, which guy are you playing?
Who is Denver playing again?
I don't know that. Let me check that very quickly.
They are playing.
They're playing Tennessee, so that game sucks. But
yeah, that does. I'm still playing Lindsay, dude. He's just proven to be more productive, even though it might be more in favor of Sony Michel going against the Giants. And Rex Burkhead maybe not coming back yet. I just think that Philip Lindsay just has the higher ceiling for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think you're wrong. Like, even in what should be a slow-paced kind of slog of a game, I'm not sure that you're wrong there, you know? And I don't know if that's more of an indictment on Michel or an endorsement of Lindsay. Yeah. But it's interesting, and he's a guy who, again, like, I'm not on and I never even really talk about, but who should continue to be played.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable because it's scary because you're like, well, this guy's going to end up not having a good week because, I mean, he doesn't have that many carries, but, like, it's just, like, every week it ends up being the same thing.
Yeah, he's good. He's a very good football player. All right, Don, let's move on to this Thursday night game. We've alluded to it before. It is the New York Giants at the New England Patriots. New England is a 17-point favorite with an over-under of 43. And part of the reason for such a lopsided betting line there is that Barkley and Engram were both limited at practice today. It's looking unlikely that both of them are going to go. And then Sterling Shepard and Wayne Gallman are both definitely out for week six. In terms of Barkley and Engram, like, if I'm the Giants, I'm just punting this week and I'm trying to bring them both back healthy for week seven. Cause, like, what's the point of rolling them out? Like, are you going to beat New England? Probably not, you know,
just put Eli back in just for this week so they don't fucking mentally destroy Daniel Jones.
Honestly, not the worst idea. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. Just throw him in there. Sit out Daniel Jones for the week. Let him have a bye. Take the loss. I mean, obviously, they're not going to do that. But, yeah, man. I mean, on the Giants side of the ball, if all of those guys are out, like, is there anyone that you can play?
No. Patriots defense is good. If all those guys are out, I mean, like, they're just going to shut down Golden Tate, dude. Like, there's just the fact that I have to watch this game on Thursday really sucks.
That's why I volunteered to do the preview on Thursday, was so I don't have to watch this game. Like, I don't care about watching this game. I don't want to watch it, so I'm not going to.
It's going
to
be bad.
Yeah, like, I'll probably normally when I'm recording, like, if there's football on TV, I'll have it on in the corner in my room, like, on mute. I'll probably have baseball on, on Thursday. There's just no reason to really do this. Golden Tate is fool's gold. This week, it's just not worth doing. Darius Slayton had a nice week, also not worth playing unless you are, like, incredibly desperate. Just incredibly, incredibly desperate. Look literally anywhere else.
Just leave that slot open.
Yeah, seriously. Just call it a day there.
Yeah.
New England side of the ball, we talked about Burkhead being limited in practice. My guess would be that he doesn't go. Philip Dorsett did not practice with a hamstring injury today. I would also think he's not going to go. To me, I think Michelle, White, Gordon, and Edelman are all guys who are viable. And then obviously Tom Brady is a guy that you can start. Do you have any disagreements there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Gordon owner, right, it's been kind of frustrating. This would probably be the week that you see Gordon have a good game, especially against this really bad Giants defense. I think everyone's kind of going to be able to feed off this game, and everyone should have a relatively productive to above average productive fantasy outing for all these guys.
Yeah, and these are all guys who were all productive in this game this past week. I mean, Gordon even had 8 targets. So, you know, against this Giants defense that has given up a lot of deep passing, I would expect Gordon to have a nice game. And then Edelman, you know, and White are guys who you at least have a certain floor that you can count on there. Michelle, we've talked about, you know, pretty extensively in terms of this. So I is there anything else that we really need to cover with this game?
Don't even roll a pick 'em on this, dude.
Yeah, not worth it. I think you guys know where we are going with this. So Giants, Don. Easily. Yeah, totally Giants. I mean, what did you say earlier? You're putting 5K on them on my bookie.
Yeah, 5,000. Yeah, on my bookie for the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that's promo code Let's Talk that lets you get a 100% sign up bonus up to $1,000.
Oh, I know.
But with Don rolling 5K on there, you know, like it's totally worth it.
For sure.
We highly recommend putting your entire life savings on the Giants on Thursday. Please do not clip that audio in any sort of way.
We do not endorse that.
Shrek's literally going to cut in and just be like, Let's Talk Fantasy Football does not endorse putting your entire life savings on the Giants.
You've been put on administrative leave.
Yeah, seriously. I said I was going to be doing the preview. Turns out I'm not doing that, guys. I've been suspended for four
until
weeks.
Until further notice.
Yeah, I've been suspended for 4 weeks for PEDs and bad betting advice. The PEDs are just I've been taking dick pills or something. I don't know. Can we get one of those sponsors too? Can we get a dick pill sponsor?
I'm about that. Hell yeah. Get me a free t-shirt on that shit.
All right. Well, now that we've gone through that, Don, do you have anything else for the people for the week 5 recap?
No, dude, it's still early. If you're 2-3 in leagues or if you're 1-4, I would be a little nervous, but 2-3 in leagues, there's a lot of booming plays like you saw with that we went over with explosion weeks like McCaffrey, Cooper, Shark, and all that. So just stay diligent and hang in there. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang in there. Try and make the best moves you possibly can. If you guys do have questions about moves that you want to make, plays that you want to make, feel free to reach out to us. There's plenty of ways to. Website, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you guys want to do, reach out to us. We try and answer every question that we can. If we do not get to it in time, we apologize. We all do work day jobs, so sometimes it makes it a little difficult. But that being said, I think that'll do it for the week 5 recap. So I will see you back for the week 6 preview with my good pal Rogers. That will likely be coming out Friday and Saturday would be my best guess, because we will be recording it during this terrible Giants-Patriots game. So for Don, I am Walsh. We are Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.